Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews Movie News. Woo-hoo. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Hello. And Ryan Preston. So this week's question for you is, who are your top three Hollywood legends? And you'll get to our answers coming up in a bit. So the first piece of news that I thought was interesting was a mask worn in one of my favorite movies of all times. Killer Clowns from Outer Space has been put on eBay, one of the last surviving character masks.
How much is it going for?
Let's see. Because it's, you can catch that on our Facebook page, by the way. Holy crap, $4,500.
Is that sort of like the current going bid or what?
That's actually... There's been zero bids. The starting bid is for $4,500.
When did they start?
Time left is 5 days, 19 hours.
Do you know how long it's been on there?
No, not that I see.
That would be an interesting thing to know.
I don't see this. Don't get me wrong. I like that movie. But at this point, I think it's a little obscure. I mean, it was made in Santa Cruz. It's not really great, that great of a movie. I mean, the clown makeup and masks were amazing, especially for the time. But... who's going to spend $4,500 on that? Nope. I mean, I would spend that or more on an original Blade Runner gun, but...
Would you prefer one with a firing pin?
Since, if I remember, there's Adam Savage talks about that, and I think all the guns were demilled, so technically they never worked to begin with, if they were based, you know, if they started with an actual firearm.
All right. Huh.
Let's see, other piece of news.
Well, here. John's favorite guy just let out a trailer for Transformers The Last Night. Mr. Michael Bay is putting out more teaser trailers. Are you excited, John? More Transformers.
I don't even think I watched the last one with Marky Mark. I don't get me wrong, I'm not a big fan of Michael Bay personally, but there was an interview I read with him. And people were giving him crap. And somebody said, you know, it's like you're making movies for 13-year-old boys. And his comment was, what's wrong with that? And that's when it kind of hit me. It's like, I get it. I'm not his audience. The first one I was because I loved it growing up. But after that, it got away from the series a little bit. You know, I'm just like, okay, I can respect that. He's making money. I'm not a big fan of his let's blow everything up and try to make every movie a better spectacle.
Okay.
What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, no, there's no way I've been paying attention after the first movie of this pile of bullshit that he keeps putting out.
Well, did you see the first? Because I watched his original trilogy, and that's kind of where I stopped.
Oh, no, I mean, I couldn't get past the first piece of shit movie. It was so abysmally bad, but it was just one of those, oh, look, pretty colors. No, fuck Michael Bay and those dumbass movies.
I don't find Megan Fox attractive.
No, I actually
I really don't. She's not that. I mean, hard.
Whatever. Her attractiveness is the least of my worries about the piece of shit.
Well, I think that was the reason why I brought that up is because that's another audience that he's trying to get to go to them.
I'll
the
agree
Megan
with that.
Fox crowd.
I think you can especially tell in the first two. In the first movie, she actually had a character, had a little bit of a backstory. You can say how good or bad that was, especially considering how poor her acting was. But in the second movie, she was pure sex appeal. That's all she was. And I actually have to agree. She's not classy, in my opinion. And I don't know. It was just a poor choice of character.
Yeah.
Honestly. Have any of you guys heard of Peter Jackson's going to release a movie at some point called Mortal Engines.
Okay.
It's based off a book. Hold on.
John's loading a lot of spam sites right now.
Sorry. It's Mortal Engines. It's a cinematic adaptation from a Universal Light project he's been working on for years. It's going to open in December 14th, 2018. So apparently it looks like it's another one of his big box office movies, you know, that he's really famous for at this point, Lord of the Rings, etc.
That's kind of how I feel about it. Is there any plot description?
See, according to this, he penned the screen engines with his wife. I haven't found it's ba- oh, here it is. It's based off a Philip Reeves book. Takes place in an Earth that was ravaged by natural geologic disaster that, thanks to a conflict called the 60-minute war to escape devastation. Some of the world's most prominent cities, including London, attach engines that raise them to the air, and shenanigans happened.
Alrighty.
It sounds a lot like an anime versus an actual movie, so we'll see how that works.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm actually, I don't believe I'm saying this, I'm a huge fan of Peter Jackson. I like his movies. I mean, there are points, especially in Lord of the Rings, that I really disliked. Specifically with when he gave Strider and Durrell. If you read the books, Strider was given the sword at the beginning. It was him picking up his mantle as king.
Yeah.
And at the end, in the Lord of the Rings movie, he's given at the end. He becomes, instead of a willing hero, a reluctant hero. That really bugs me because it changes his motivation, in my opinion, between the two.
Yeah. Jackie Chan is going to be returning to action thrillers. In Five Against the Bullet, he just signed on. I'm not sure who he's going to play, but I don't think he's going to be the star or the lead role in the film. But
don't get me wrong. I used to like Jackie Chan.
Gonna go after Jackie Chan.
What is he going to make? Rush Hour 12?
I mean, look. I'm first of all, I'm into any more Rush Hour movies that dude wants to make. Second, this dude has never ever stopped working. I mean, he's really one of the most prolific, you know, actors, let alone martial artists, you know, let alone, you know, comedians.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude is I mean, he does so many independent movies that people really never hear about, you know, just because either they, you know, these kids want Jackie Chan in their movie, but he's still just so good at what he does, you know. And despite being, I mean, the guy's got to be in his almost 60 or something, right?
Yeah, I'm pulling up right now. 62.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that dude is amazing.
Yeah, you guys want to see some fun Jackie Chans, go look up City Hunter and Meals on Wheels.
Hell yeah.
And,
see, the problem
what's
is...
What's the one? Final Fantasy Mission Force.
Yeah, close enough.
I think that's close.
Fantasy Mission Force.
Fantasy.
Not Final Fantasy.
Whatever. They're making a new Final Fantasy. Did you see that?
Yes, actually.
It's Final Fantasy 1000.
I can't believe they actually made an Assassin's Creed movie.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's funny you talk about that. I've talked to somebody about that, and their major problem with it was how they changed, was it the Anubis?
Because
the difference is Anubis. Thank you. If you actually play the game, it's some sort of like table thing he's strapped to.
Yeah.
And the movie, it looks like he's basically dangling from the device.
Hmm. Yeah, whatever. You know, it's got to look a little more
futuristic,
sci-fi.
Yeah. See, I was going to say part of the reason why I think they did that is nobody is going to watch scenes where he's just laying there lifeless on some table. It's boring. It's going to make a bad movie. At least this, it'll be entertaining. Yeah. There's going to be something in there that's going to make the viewers wait for the actual good scenes, because I guarantee watching him do whatever shit he's going to do with that floating chair is not going to be all that exciting.
Well, look, it's not anything different than what The Matrix was. You know, maybe that's even what they were trying to get away from, was the look of, you know, Keanu Reeves just kind of jostling around in a chair.
Yeah.
As long as they do better than the second and third one. Oh, my God.
But, I mean, as long as they don't change really the mechanics of the Animus and what it is and...
No, I agree.
What it's capable of. It's an interesting premise, but it can get Prince of Persia on this motherfucker real quick.
Now, do you think this is going to be like a backstory into everything, or are they just going to throw you in the middle of it? Because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot
As far as a backstory, anybody who's playing the video games doesn't really know where this is all going or really what the crazy backstory is. I mean, you know sort of the bits and pieces.
Yeah, you know the gist of it, basically.
But are they going to
hopefully they kind of do that, because involved in the video games is this really kind of bitchin' conspiracy.
Well, because, that's what I'm wondering. Are they going to throw that in? Because if they do, I bet they're going to do like they do in the games, where you see bits and pieces and you have to assemble it at the end.
Like the codex, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, okay. How much are they going to include? Because they have to include enough that people who have never played the game have to understand. Because otherwise...
Well, it's not that hard, you know, to catch somebody up on the concept of what's going on. It's just a matter of, do they blow their wad, basically, in the first... hour and a half that they put out there, and then leave no room for for the expansion of potentially a really interesting universe.
See, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking what they're going to do is they're going to sprinkle it along through the movie, just like the game does, because you're going to see a little bit of them talking. You're going to see him running from roofs and doing stuff, a little bit more talking. I think that's the only way you're going to be able to do it and have it feel like the game. Because a lot of movies based off of video games blow everything right at the front, and you basically riding the wave of it till the end.
Yeah. You know, I'd be open to them just kind of giving a little backstory and kind of teasing for a sequel to explain exactly. more. That would be really what I expect. That is actually what I expect.
Where the first one's unenjoyable, but enough to like be like, oh, there's some deeper shit going on here, you know, which is kind of what the video games were so good at. At least sort of the main structure of the games. There's some interstitial shit that was pretty crappy.
Here's what I'm hoping. Personally, I'm hoping they throw something in there that's not in the games. Just a little bit of a hint of a backstory that just adds a little bit more to the video games. Because if they do this right, this will enhance the game and drive sales. If it sucks, it's going to kill the game.
Basically.
Well, I mean, the game, I think, is going to definitely exist without them. You know, it's...
I do think it'll hurt it a little bit.
Aren't they still making more Hitmen?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just came out with one last year.
Unfortunately, it's episodic content, which
is ridiculous.
So,
yeah,
we're going to switch into our questions just in a bit. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. If there's any movies you'd like us to review, please let us know. You can also catch us on Podbean, Stitcher, and more. So, the question for this week is, who are your top three Hollywood legends? And here are mine. I've got a director, Steven Spielberg, one of my all-time favorite directors, actually. You've got one of my all-time favorite actors in Kirk Douglas. And I'll go a limb and say Hollywood legend, or future Hollywood legend, being in Matt Damon. Because he's been in some good movies and crappy movies, but I think he's been in more good movies than bad movies.
Okay.
Unlike his friend, Ben Affleck.
All right.
James?
So, the original question was something like, who are your movie legends, actor, producer, director? So, you know, I decided I would just go with a theme, and I picked directors. For the worst pieces of shit award, legends of bullshit, Scorsese, Shyamalan, douchebag, loser piece of shit, and then we also have Michael Moore. But I would give them all vodka, just a bunch, and have Michael Moore drive them off a cliff. I'd only feel bad for the bus.
By the way, if you're wondering why you've never heard those names in the show, we always jokingly call them He Who Must Not Be Named.
Pretty much.
I
mean, if you want actual legends of directors, I would throw in Stanley Kubrick, Christopher Nolan, and David Yates.
Interesting list.
So, you know, those would be good legends as far as pieces of shit go. There you go.
Well, you took it a direction I wasn't expecting. So, Ryan, batter up.
Okay. First off, Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes.
Psycho, Vertigo, The Birds. I mean, Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Anybody not caught up on Hitchcock stuff, do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Sort of an odd one that probably most people wouldn't expect me to pick. Katharine Hepburn.
Oh, wow.
That's a good choice. Huge fan. Amazing, amazing actress. Really, really, really funny. Like, and classically funny. I mean, she was an actress in the 30s and 40s and just crushing it.
She's what people would call an actual Hollywood legend. She did movies during the golden age of Hollywood.
And that chick was such a force, man. It unbelievable. And then Sergio Leone.
Oh.
Is another director. Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Fistful of Dollars, Few Dollars More. Once Upon a Time in the West. I mean, holy shit.
No, I totally agree. That's good list.
Yeah.
So, any of you have an honorable mention? Because I don't.
You asked me to pick three. You do this every time, John.
That's my shtick.
I would say if I was really to pick somebody who would be an actor, it would be probably Clint Eastwood as an honorable mention. I mean, he would be a legend on his own. And then you got someone like John Wayne. And then I would even throw in... You know.
So in Clint Eastwood, what part of his career do you enjoy the most? Like you talked about the early.
I would say his directing.
Directing.
As a director, and I mean some of his later stuff, because when you bring up his younger stuff, he really wasn't a director in his own right until he got, you know, out of the spaghetti western type thing.
Yeah, because he was a studio player for a while. Then you talk about Sergio Leone, and I think really came into his own. But no, I agree. I love his vision for Unforgiven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once Clint Eastwood kind of got out of the mode, the first couple of things he directed really had that. I've been making movies with Sergio Leone too long, kind of vibe to him. But once he kind of really came into his own, some of the shit that he did was just unbelievable. You know.
And it's funny too, because I think he can get away with doing things as a director that I don't think a lot of people can, especially when you talk about topics. There was, I can never remember the movie, but it was the one where he's incredibly racist in the movie, ends up dying for him at the end.
Yeah, Gran Torino.
Yes.
Yeah. Great movie.
That was a movie I have never heard anything bad of. Everybody I know who have seen it gave it incredibly high praise.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, it is a great film. I mean, I don't know if you actually took the time to watch it. Did you?
It's one of those movies that I'm just so busy that I haven't had a chance.
Another one that was a bit of a flop under his control was Million Dollar Baby.
See,
but that one, I mean, the first like hour and a half of the film was just amazing.
What was the flop about it? Because that was a movie that
everyone hated the way it ended.
Really?
Yes.
Was it
everyone
like a typical anime ending?
Yeah, but the ending of that was not an issue. You know, it was.
For,
I mean, just because
quite
you don't
bit.
Like how the story ends doesn't mean it's a bad story.
Did it end like a lot of anime do in tragedy? I mean, what was?
Yes, it was a really tragic ending. Basically, I mean, the girl that he was training to be a boxer slipped and broke her
spoiler.
C something. Yeah.
Okay, so basically, became a quadriplegic or something like that.
She died.
She died. Okay.
Yeah. She was a quadriplegic, but she asked Clint Eastwood to finish her off, basically take her off life support. But, I mean, it was, like Ryan saying, it was a fantastic story, but there was a lot of people like, I just can't stand the ending.
So,
but it was a good story that they cared about the ending.
See,
yeah,
to me,
exactly.
That's a mark of
that's
a good
the way
movie.
I've always looked at that, and people have a hard time kind of making that distinction.
Yeah.
See, so it was a good movie.
It was a
fantastic
film,
actually. If you
care
enough to hate the ending...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's you had some investment into the characters.
Yeah, but I mean,
everybody was expecting to be a true underdog story versus a tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, he did a fantastic job in the film. But the way I'm saying it, the flop thing was there was so many people that got the word of mouth about the ending that basically killed the steam behind the film.
Yeah.
Which I was always disappointed by.
That's interesting. I mean, I'm not really surprised that a movie would be ruined by that. I mean, that's kind of a common tragedy when you talk about movies. But I definitely think people need to give it more thought. I mean, if you care about the characters.
Yeah.
Now.
Exactly.
A little bit of movie news. I do think this is interesting. Alien Covenant gets its first poster and early release date.
That'd be interesting if they
originally scheduled
the aliens
to hit
into the Covenant.
Originally scheduled to hit theaters on August 4th, 2017. It will now be released 3 months earlier on May 19th of next year. The new film continues to follow Michael Fassbender's David, the synthetic who was only two surviving characters from Prometheus. Here's my problem. Prometheus sucked.
Right.
I wanted... They have to redeem themselves from a very... poor movie, in my opinion. What do you think, Ryan? James?
Yeah, you know, the first two movies were so unique, you know, and mostly because of the amazing cast. Prometheus kind of went off the rails a little bit. But, I mean, you know, it's... There's no life left in these types of franchise. Let these movies live on in people's memories and whatnot. You know, not like you know, when my dad used to tell me about a movie, he'd be like, oh, go see, you know, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I didn't have to tell him, oh, yeah, but I saw Good, the Bad, and the Ugly 14 and it sucked.
You know? See, I don't disagree. I do think you could bring new life into the Aliens movie. I just think you have to get away from what they've been doing. It's basically the same. It's basically the same story as the first one. I mean, I think you have to figure out how to reinvent it in a way that's new and not stereotypical for the franchise. And it's, which I don't know if it's possible with this character.
I don't know.
Because otherwise, I agree with Ryan. It's you know, it's this, Friday the 13th, Chucky. There's all these great movies in the 80s and 90s that you just need to let die because all you're doing is killing what was once a great franchise or series.
I think they just need to let it go and move on.
Well, it doesn't kill it. It just dilutes it. You know, it waters it down.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that. I would also say, and this is a little bit of a bad comparison, is actually, no, you talk about the Rocky movies. The first three are amazing piece of writing, and the farther you get away were crap.
Yeah.
You know, the last one before Balboa in Creed was him helping a guy named Tommy the Machine Gun. It was horrible. Balboa, I think, resurrected the franchise a little bit. I haven't seen Creed.
I haven't either.
I don't know if I want to.
I don't give a crap.
It's here's my thing, man. People will watch these movies without the title Rocky or Creed or Balboa.
Yeah.
You know, you can make a boxing movie and people will watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
you know, people like sports movies, but we're not just talking about boxing, you know, Rambo, you know, all that shit. You can make just a generic action movie without having the name Rambo attached to it.
Yeah, but the most interesting,
like I said, it dilutes these things. People have forgotten that First Blood was a great movie because the waters have been muddied so much with bigger and bigger knives.
I would also say that it was really close to the era of the Vietnam War. It was still fresh in some people's minds. You had a lot of context
right.
that was still there. You know, by the time
it was a huge social commentary at the time, not just sort of gratuitous killing.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I like gratuitous action movies as much as the next guy. But it's fine if it's not this part of this large, huge franchise where everything has to be a fucking James Bond movie.
No, I agree. I mean, I really liked the very last Rambo, but it was really unneeded. They ended a movie franchise ridiculously. You should have let it just end.
Yeah.
And maybe they should have done the same thing with Aliens. Well, they should have done it with Aliens 3. I thought that was the perfect cap for the movie. They shouldn't have made 4 and 5 or 6 or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. They needed to let it go and just...
I think maybe that's...
Leave things be.
Maybe that's the one thing Hollywood at this point has a hard time being. They see a franchise like Aliens, for example, did amazingly well in the first two movies. I don't think it did as well as the third movie, at least not in my imagination. But they see what the numbers were originally, and they're like, oh, we could easily redo this. And they're wondering, hey, why is everybody bitching about this movie?
Pretty much.
Well, it's a money grab. You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's something that because people recognize it and people are sheep, they go to the movie theater expecting to be reminded of good times back in the day.
See,
remember?
Remember?
Remember? See, this to me, this is weird. When people have access to very cheap, very amazing cameras and do, was it A Girl and a Gun that we reviewed a while ago, you see these movies, then they're like, hell, give that guy $1 million or $100,000 yeah. and let him make a full-on movie of that. I don't get why they're doing that when, obviously, their Netflix and Amazon are kind of drinking their milkshake.
Hold on, I'm sorry, $100,000. Are we making movies in 1914?
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, give the guy who made A Girl and Her Gun some money, see where he goes.
He probably made that movie for over $100,000.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. I mean, fine, give him $1 million and say, go have fun. We just want a 90-minute movie.
Well, so that's the thing, is that luckily there are enough, you know, sort of independent producers out there who will sort of give the unknown guys, here's a million and a half, you know, go make something special. You know, and I think the lack of a budget can do a lot for somebody's creativity. You know, we've gotten a lot of good movies out of just small budgets.
Star Wars, Indiana Jones.
I mean, people really doing things on you know, popsicle sticks and rubber bands. I mean, just the old school movie magic stuff is still there for people who are willing to exploit it.
I think part of the other things is these days it's like movies don't require you to suspend your belief anymore. It's all CG'd and makeup and covered instead of, like, even Star Wars, you could tell, okay, they smudged with Vaseline on the camera and they played tricks to get it, but it made you get into the movie by suspending your belief enough to really start enjoying the story.
Well, let me just put this out there. Hopefully the audience out there would recognize the name Jim Henson. He made his own, basically, brand.
Oh, yeah.
And he started back where Ryan was saying, where you got popsicle sticks, glue, and just a bunch of crap that you stick together. He did practically for the first, 30 years of the Jim Henson career, he was doing it himself.
Yeah, he was the voice of Kermit.
Yeah, and, I mean, if you don't really know that name, you don't know television or movies.
Yeah, and people will definitely know him from the Muppets, but I mean, this goes so far beyond Muppets.
Well,
and not even just, you know, like the kids stuff. I mean, we're talking Dark Things.
Oh yeah.
That he did monsters for and you know, really, really twisted types of things, but it was still this 3D amazing thing that someone cobbled together in a garage studio.
Well, yeah. See, I think the Muppets are perfect examples because they were obviously puppets. They weren't trying to hide it. They were just trying to make entertainment.
Yeah.
And by you acknowledging it and saying, I don't care, and you're having fun. Movies today are so, you know, you're kind of tasting the Technicolor rainbow that I think it takes you out of it. I don't think there's any imagination in movies today.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't stop preaching about this, but I mean, seriously, the model makers, the people who used to build stuff, it gave three dimensions to what you were seeing. It made you that you're looking at. Everything nowadays looks a little more flat, even though it looks a little prettier, and even in 3D, you know, things can look just not really there.
No, you know? I agree, and that's why I like Adam Savage, for example. He was a co-host of the Mythbusters. You guys don't know who he is. He was a hard-edge model maker for ILM. And it's just like, you see stuff like that, and Ryan's totally right. I agree. There's a texture, I guess you would call it, that is just not there. Like, yeah. I do think that the human mind can tell the difference between CGI, especially if you look at older movies. Like, look at Independence Day. You can totally tell the scenes are computer animated. Right. As time goes on, the worse it looks.
It's referred to as the uncanny valley. You know, your brain telling...
Damn, I really want to hear his point.
...that's off about it, even though you might not be able to put your finger on it. And at least, even though you knew that there was a guy's hand up whatever puppet's ass you were looking at... You were sometimes like, oh, that's creepy. If I came across that in a dark room, I'd lose my shit.
Oh, hell yeah. So, no, I think, and this has probably been a theme since episode one, honestly, is, and not Star Wars.
Be creative.
Yeah,
give these people some jobs again, man. It's a shame that these artists are out of work these days.
Yeah, make Hollywood great again.
And I would, and I would say... I think the 80s and 90s were kind of, I'd call it the Hollywood's second golden age, because you got technology to a point where it was easier doing model making. You got a little bit of a computer assistance. And then when you get 2000, right off the rail. Well, like, for example, if you take a look at Tron and like the Black Hole, Black Hole's a Disney failure, by the way, if you don't know what it is. They didn't get an award because they thought it was cheating using computers.
Which, you know, look, to be fair, it's absolutely not cheating. I mean, it's definitely its own art, but I, like you said, dude, computer assistance, I think, is the angle that people need to be looking at it from. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of enhanced and not necessarily just fucking whole cloth. We're creating a movie with people standing, you know, in a warehouse of green.
Like, I'd rather see, like, scenes. I think Lord of the Rings was the last movie I can think of that actually did both. but I would rather have Lord of the Rings than Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. I
mean, yeah, exactly.
Leave it, Extraordinary Gentleman.
They bridged the gap beautifully. They had new technology that was amazing that made those wide shots something you would never be able to do in real life. You can't get that many extras to run into a battle.
Oh, no.
You know, and they actually created a technology that made each one of those individual orcs rushing into battle sort of their own, you know, autonomous AI that was guiding their movement. So you didn't have these copy paste blocks of 1,000 people doing the same thing, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, maybe next week's episode we'll continue on this particular rant.
Yeah.
But it's something that Real Flix Reviews have been saying pretty much number one is we just want original content. We're tired of rehashed, painted over. Matter of fact, stop robbing my fucking childhood, Hollywood. I don't want another Top Gun movie. I don't want another Ghostbusters movie. And I swear to God, if you make another Indians movie, I'm going to strangle somebody. Those movies weren't that good when they came out.
To the people, the 4.5 people who watch this, that you stop just going to see the tentpole shit.
Yes.
You know, go out and actually look for independent film and give them your time. And, you know, read the description of a movie like people used to do at a video store instead of just like, ooh, pretty trailer.
Oh, by the way, I will say if you live in like Ryan's neck of the wood, you know, in Los Angeles and all you see is the tentpole movies, you fucking suck. I would give a lot to have the ability to go down to a theater that shows indie movies and actually spend my money because I can't do that where I live.
Yeah, you gotta support the starving artists out there because they need your money more than you know Tim Burton.
Yeah,
so
pick on Tim Burton.
Seriously.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, thank you for watching. Goodbye. We'll be right back.